the boat over. Rock the boat. I don't rock the boat. Hey, Cavs, welcome back to the Millennial Meltdown. I am Pete Schulte. We're talking about The Martian here in the studio today. And we left off just talking about scientists and how NASA erupts and how that's depicted in both films and how that actually happens in real life. And I think back to as a kid when I watched Apollo 13. And I remember seeing every time there was a and I feel like the look I'm getting is that you're not happy with Apollo 13.
You mean the movie, not the real one.
No. Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you for making us feel 900 years old.
I do what I can. To your point, I did have several people after the movie, this is completely unrelated, well, sort of unrelated, ask me, or well, not ask me, but I heard in the theater, was that based on a true story?
Oh, no.
Talking about The Martian?
Yes,
and I'm thinking to myself, like, really? Come on, guys. Really? Really?
I say tell them yes. I want to see how the rest of their life goes.
That's right.
With that sort of information in their brain.
At that point, you may as well. You just go, yeah, totally. Mark Watney, man. You should meet him. He teaches. And, oh, God. Anyway, sorry, I got us a little sidebarred there, but I had to mention that. But yeah, I mean, just think about how they erupt in The Martian specifically, and how well, for me, it was depicted both in the book and in the film, every time there was a failure, which where there were plenty of failures. I mean, we talk about how much preparation goes into launching a probe and, you know, how much deadlines got moved up in The Martian. So referring to that, I mean, how feasible do you guys think it is? I mean, obviously I know you guys don't work at NASA, but for them to cut out all the sort of safety measures and pull out all the stops, I mean, do you think there is a, surely at some point, despite the fact we're trying to save Mark Watney here, surely at some point, Uncle Sam steps in and goes, whoa, 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 there are millions upon millions of dollars at stake here. Really, we're gonna just throw that all out of the window. What are your thoughts on that?
Do you want to take that one?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's not so much the millions of dollars, but it's the. You know, I had a hard time with the rushed launch vehicle, because when you go to a launch, you know, one of the things that they're very clear about. Telling you could happen is that there's a guy in launch control with his finger above a button ready to blow up that launch vehicle in an instant if it starts tilting back towards Orlando. You know, 'cause the last thing you want to have happen is have a U.S. missile land on top of a U.S. city.
That seems unfortunate.
And so there are all the safety precautions that are in place aren't just for saving the capital investment in the vehicle and all that and in the facilities. It's the protection of the lives surrounding the launch facility. And so even with the shuttle program, there is a guy ready to end seven lives in an instant if it became necessary, if the shuttle system started tilting back towards towards mainland. So releasing all those safety protocols for the sake of saving one person, that's a stretch for me. That's a stretch. Although one thing that I did like seeing is all the failures and all that, but they kept pushing forward, right? It really emphasized something that I've heard bandied around in space, due to the robotic side, not the human side, but the old adage that plans mean nothing, but planning is everything, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you saw all through the book, and I presume all through the movie, is this continually planning for eventual outcomes and being flexible to change those plans on the fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where they have the plan with the Chinese to pick mm-hmm. more supplies up and mm-hmm. figure out their time range for doing that. The other possibility, though, the other thing to think about is when you have those other six or five astronauts up there in the Hermes is the idea of someone going rogue.
Yes.
And even if NASA doesn't plan to do something, to take it into their own power to do something. And they spent more time in the movie on that than kind of in the book with the remaining crew and developing their characters a little bit more.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. There was more of a depiction of that conversation of, are we going to go back? Are we going to save Mark Watney? Which really segues into the next question, is that really we're going to talk about the big one. I mean, this is the Hail Mary, also known as the Purnell maneuver. You know, let's talk about Ares 3 using its gravitational momentum to slingshot around the Earth back to Mars. But because of the positioning being so far apart, obviously that was their justification to use the Purnell maneuver. Now, I mean, I watch Star Trek. I'm a fan. You know, I like Jean-Luc. He's the best captain. Don't say otherwise. I don't care if you like Kirk. You can get out.
What do you got against Janeway?
Janeway? Oh. You're throwing Janeway. We're going to have to do another show where we just hash that one out. But time. Engage. Okay, sorry. I've seen them do something similar, obviously. But, I mean, with the orbits being so out of whack, as they mentioned, is that really a feasible solution, or do we just slingshot around the Earth and completely miss Mars? So, fact or fiction?
Fact. People have looked at the maneuver described in the book, plotted it out, and yes, it works.
That was a much shorter and much more amazing answer than the previous one.
So. In other words, you know, it's one of those things. In the movie, I believe they talked about a Hellman transfer orbit. Mm-hmm. What I teach in my astronomy class as a least energy transfer trajectory. It's a simple thing. It's easy to calculate, completely doable.
That's. Well, that's,
with the positions of Earth to Mars at in the time frame of the novel.
Yeah, no, I'm impressed. That was one of the things that I was like, really? I mean, is that really a thing? So that's really cool.
For someone who hasn't seen the movie, may I ask a quick question? Is the maneuver you're talking about, is it in relation to the distance of the gravitational pull and how if it would overlap enough? Or is it more about angles?
It's about angles.
Okay.
It's always about angles, momentum.
Okay.
And with what they were describing was what's called a gravity assist maneuver, where you pass by a planet at just the right angle, such that some of the planet's momentum is transferred to the spacecraft.
Understood.
We do this all the time. It's a cheap way of getting spacecraft out further into the solar system. Voyager, of course, famously did this four times. Voyager 2 did.
Catherine Janeway.
Well, but anyway, yeah, it's all about the angle of approach and altering your momentum, your velocity vector.
I understand. Thank you.
All right. Well, last question, and we'll go quick on this one. But Watney's last ditch Iron Man effort to cut the hole in the hand, zoom himself up. Really. Is that controllable? Yeah, I mean, does he come home with a hand? I mean, does that even work? Does he control that at all?
Well, that was a pretty short time period.
Yeah.
I know when Captain Joseph,
The balloon guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a leak in his...
Kittinger. Yeah, he had a leak in his glove. Of course, he was dropping from 19 miles or so up above Earth's surface. And it was basically kind of like freezer burn that he got on the way down.
But he was exposed for a lot longer time.
Oh, yeah, minutes, many minutes.
You can suck vacuum for about a minute and still be okay. I mean, you can hurt.
Yeah.
But you'll live.
Doesn't sound like what I want to go home and do with my Dyson.
No.
Okay, sorry, wrong vacuum.
But the control part is, that would be pretty tough to control.
Yeah, the fact that he ended up, I thought that was a little bit of weird and Hollywood dreaming a little bit, but... I assume that happened in the book. I actually honestly haven't gotten to that part yet, but that was another question I had. So, professors, Lance, thank you so much for joining us today on the Millennial Meltdown. It has been an absolute pleasure, definitely educational. Apparently, keep an eye on 2017 because there's another fun one-off special topics class potentially coming. So, Sopcich, let him do it. It's fine. Dr. Sopcich, that was disrespectful. So, well, The Martian, starring Matt Damon, is out in theaters now, and the number one New York Times bestselling novel of the same name can also be found in bookstores everywhere. You've been listening to The Millennial Meltdown on ECAV Radio. I'm Pete Schulte for the Campus Ledger, reminding you to keep your eye on the TV because NASA's working really hard to bring Mark Watney home. ECAV Radio, your school, your radio.